Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, you know, hey, hi.
Are we live?
Yeah.
I appreciated the time we had together. It was good. And that's where Paul brought up that, you know, you gotta trim the
shrubs to make the tree look bigger.
Yeah, it's good stuff. No, it's good. And they no, there's a good cause, good company.
I still use their product.
I do too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Quite regularly.
Me too.
Although
I might have to order some more.
Not necessarily down there. Although
back there
after. I had a line, but it's nowhere near as good as that is.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Hey, like and subscribe. Before we begin, sponsor mentions and some of our great supporters. NordVPN. You want to watch Zero properly? Can't find the way to make it happen? Well, NordVPN, you are just a few clicks away from letting the internet know you are safely connecting via another IP address that allows you viewing of all the bike races out there. That is right. Completely okay to do and safe to boot. Try Nord today using our link. Next off, Untapped Maple. I'll tell you a war story. Oh, David. Oh. I'm reading your texts aloud.
Yeah, you're reading the text I just sent to Sam.
You just sent it to Sam? Untapped Maple. With pure Vermont maple syrup at its core, you know it's clean, pure energy. Add in natural flavors to enhance the process. With a smooth, easily digestible texture, you are all but guaranteed to cross the line. Untapped Maple is the way to fuel. And finally, this Pros Closet. It's like a bike shop for the cool stuff. The Pros Closet offers bikes, parts, gear, and so much more in slightly used condition that ensures all the quality with a price break that makes top end accessible. Be sure to use the link at Backfiller and check out all of the offerings from the Pros Closet. Now let's go play bikes. Okay. What war stories you're going to relate, Sam's story?
I can relay parts of it, yeah. Right. You know, from what I saw.
From this last weekend?
Yeah, you know, he's not here, so.
Oh, yeah?
Did he freak out when he missed his feed?
No, actually.
He had stomach problems, didn't he?
I was literally on the wrong side of the road. I showed up just in time to where I couldn't get onto the correct side of the road, and I was yelling at him. I was like, damn, and he didn't hear me. Mm. It felt horrible. Just watch him go by.
Hey, are you live with us, checking us out on YouTube, or even better, right on the homepage at packfiller.com? Did you know that we are and have been live for years? Am I asking too many questions? That's right, no fancy edits here. What you hear is happening in real time. Try that with your regular podcast. Suck on it, other podcasts. From the Rim Break Bar in Spokane, Washington, welcome to the Pack Filler Cycling Podcast. The lights are pink, and we poured a drink. Well, Jackson's cool green screen isn't pink.
It's not pink this time.
But the bar lights are pink, and the on-air light is pink. Is it on?
Yep.
We must be on air. It's kind of purpley.
That is not pink.
That's LEDs have a tough time nailing down the colors. Yeah.
They do.
White Pagotsa shorts.
I'm getting to that. I'm going to talk about that. Yeah. Let's get into it. Who's here with tonight's prologue question for you listening in? How would you answer the following? What is your favorite cereal? What is your favorite cereal? First off, he's the most affordable dog sitter in town, Mr. Paul Main.
Yeah, affordable. I'm free for my own dog.
I have never seen you with facial hair, and you honestly look like if you came out of your house and the dog was barking in the background, it'd be just like, oh my God, this guy's in serious shit, man.
This is the first time I've been outside. I've been with the dog. No, I'm just kidding.
Good Lord.
First of all, how are you? And second of all, what's your favorite cereal?
When I was a little kid, it was Freakies.
What the
You probably don't even remember that. Wow. Freaky cereal?
I've never heard of
Freaky
cereal.
Even had a theme
cereal.
Song?
No.
We are the Freakies. This is the Freakies tree. We love our cereal. There's Ham Hoes, Gargoyle. I can't even remember them all. Goody Tootie, Goody something.
You're talking about Frankenberry?
No. It's Freaky cereal. I was like in third grade, so you're looking at 1972,
3. Oh, that's a YouTube. I don't want a YouTube.
No,
I just
don't
want an image.
What? You'd get the little figures. There's like eight of them, or maybe there was.
Oh, back in the day when you had.
Yeah, and they came in the box. Yeah. Then you had Ham Hoes had like looked like an octopus. They were just kind of weird things. Goody Two Shoes or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah.
I have never heard.
But that was basically a Captain Crunch.
Just sugary death.
Yeah.
Okay.
But as I matured and Freakies went out, and then they came out with Cracklin' Oat Bran. Anything
Bran.
I love the taste of Bran.
You turned old early.
I did. Mm. I did.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Got my first cardigan at age 6. No, I'm just kidding.
Young Sheldon over here. I have never seen that show. I can't even comment on it. Next, he is who we all... he's not here, but he's who we all live vicariously through over the past weekend, Mr. Sam Waples, and I'm sure it has plenty of drama alongside of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking forward to it.
I was too. Mm-hmm. I was too. Sam attended the... we're going to talk about it a little bit. We're going to get David's perspective on it, but we'll see what happened from that point. Next, he's got the muddiest drivetrain. Mr. David Waples. Holy shit.
Actually, my wife's was worse.
Really?
Yeah. Yep, it was terrible.
We will get to that, too. But cereal, and it can't be cheeseburger flavored because you smelled cheeseburgers on the way here when you were walking in, and everything in your vegetarian heart was wanting to cross to the dark side, you should have done it because it's freaking awesome.
I could have found it.
Oh. They're always available, man.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs.
I used to really?
Love those.
Yeah. Those were delicious.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm about to change my answer because I'm thinking you made
I
me
can
think
answer
of
for
cereal.
Sam because we came across.
What's Sam's?
His was Captain Crunch Crunchberry.
Crunchberries?
Nice. Yeah, because that's why he likes to scratch. He likes to scratch strawberries and cream. Yeah.
Yep.
He was because like, he goes, it reminds me of my favorite. So I'm speaking for him. We'll just fill in his blanks.
We will.
We'll just pretend. Yeah. Yeah. We'll take turns answering. Yeah. You can ask him questions.
Okay. He's a broken record. We could all do it.
next, he's got support crew duty this weekend, Mr. Jackson Bulger.
Yeah. My wife's running her first half marathon this weekend. Pretty cool.
Which one?
Sandpoint.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, exciting for her. I can't wait for her to finish it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I am so intentionally going to announce her name as Bulger when she comes across the line.
Yeah.
Just to welcome her to the club.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Just to have it destroyed. You know, it's like, no.
She'll get it forever.
How does she spell it when people ask her to spell it? Is she to that point yet? Yeah. Has she adapted the dialect?
Oh, yeah. It's in there.
Because when we say it, it just becomes a how do you spell that?
B-U-L-G-E-R.
You go B-U-L-G-E-R. B-U-L-G-E-R. Mm-hmm. That's it's like W-N-B-C. B-U-L-G-E-R.
Yeah, she does it. I've been alongside her when she's done it.
Really?
Yep.
I'm so
kind of like
I'm
from
so
Menon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to do that.
By Menon.
Yeah.
B-U-L-G-E-R.
Yeah.
Jackson, your favorite cereal?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. My wife actually sent me
your favorite cereal.
My favorite cereal. It's so we always have this conversation about how the off brand, so like the bags that you find in the store,
Malt-O-Meals.
Yeah,
great cereals.
Like it's literally the picture that you just sent me. It's we always say that those are way better than the on brand stuff. Mm-hmm. And so mine is
because you can eat four bowls of it,
right,
and not kill a box.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mine is Berry Colossal Crunch, which is just Cap'n Crunch, but not on brand.
Yeah.
It's way better. I think that the Fruity Dino Bites, which is the Fruity Pebbles, also way better. So, but I would pick the, you know, the Cap'n Crunch, the off-brand Cap'n Crunch.
With the berries, so Crunch
berries. The Berry Colossal Crunch.
Because regular Cap'n Crunch, you should just be the
only
brown color thing. And it's just all those Cap'n Crunch version cereals just destroy your mouth. Let's be honest. You just walk out of there and it's like you took a cheese grater to the roof of your mouth. Mm-hmm. But it was a good, if you're going down, go down with a sugar eye.
Yeah. It's my favorite.
Back in the day when cartoons were only on Saturday morning, and you'd eat three or four bowls, and then your parents would just make you go outside, and you'd sit in the yard in a food coma with sugar-induced food coma. And, you know, I think birds would shit on my shoulder. I'd just be like, whatever. Me, I'm no longer on blood thinners.
Hey! Yeah. Thursday night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll be
wow.
There. Wow.
That'll
wow.
be my first
every
ride in 2 weeks.
Single person.
Just oh, shit. I want to talk about that since I know you're going to be there. But I'm Pat Bulger, and I was going to say Frosted Flakes, just classic Frosted Flakes. But then I was thinking about from your Monstros or whatever the hell it was called.
Freakies.
There was a brand for a while called Waffalos.
Mm. I remember those.
They were like waffles, and they had a little maple syrup flavor, and they had a blueberry waffle maple syrup flavor cereal. It's the crunch enhancer. It's a non-nutritive cereal varnish, so the milk doesn't penetrate the crunch.
I know what you're doing.
Okay, I just went total Clark Griswold there, but it would not get soft in the milk. I don't know what they did, what chemicals I've ingested into my system, but it was brilliant. It was crunchy. Even you could leave it on the counter for an hour and come back, and it would still have a little crunch to it.
That's concerning.
But I'm good. Doesn't cause AFib or something.
I feel like they should get.
God!
I feel like they need to get soft at some point in your intestinal tract, so you don't just cut up your.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say anything about
pooping blood. Juices
Mom, my poop is red. Now, what? I gotta ask you. What
on the toilet sounds like a machine gun?
Jesus,
he had nothing to do with it.
I have to ask you, what inspired you the cereal question? Yeah. Is it a Netflix release by Jerry Seinfeld?
It has nothing to do with Jerry Seinfeld. Actually, I don't know why. I think it's
I watched that film.
Was it bad?
I've heard it's bad not things. Good. Yeah. It's not. I watch it for nostalgia. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I was born the year this is supposed to take place in 1963. Yeah. So 62, 63. So all that stuff they're talking about, and I'd say no, that was later. But nice try. You know. Doing all the correction editing.
Out authenticity, like a nerd calls out Star Wars.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. No, I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know if I can.
That's all right. Unbelievable cast. I mean, that doesn't help.
On paper, it looks like it should be the funniest movie
of
all time.
It's just goofy.
I mean, nine out of 10 movies nowadays aren't good. They're just, you just watch them.
You're right.
Man.
I've got my wife watching
Fallout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've already seen it. I've already watched the whole season.
Oh, wow.
Did either of you play the game?
No.
Okay. I didn't either.
Oh, okay.
I kind of know like a little about it.
Because the gamers are probably quoting its, you know, inauthenticity. But
I don't know. Like when you make movies or TV shows about games, it's like you're gonna have to fill in some of the blanks, because like when we're like controlling the character riding from point A to point B, it's like you gotta
one character went left, fucker.
You gotta fill in that space. So.
The acting's good. I mean, anything with Dalton Goggins in, I'm in. Mm. The guy is so freaking quirky. We watched the Righteous Gemstones with him.
And which one is he?
He is Baby Billy. Uncle Baby Billy.
I might not be there yet.
You would notice him. He's the one who sings with his sister, who's, well,
I'm only on the second episode, so I don't think he's come in yet.
Yeah. He's done a bunch of Tarantino movies, stuff like that. He's a great character actor. Really good. And he's good in this. So, anyway, am I digressing? I am. Let's start with our cycling lives. I'm going to pick you all apart a little bit. I'm going to start with Jackson. You took a bit of a well-earned time off. How are things training for the, you know, getting how long did you take off?
Just a little
mental break?
Yeah, mental-ish. I took off 7 days, which sucked. I just got to a point where I was like, I just really want to be doing it again.
Yeah.
I started yesterday. Everything was good, which is great. But I was, you know, stressed out. Oh, a week is going to make me lose all this stuff. And then I got on the trainer yesterday and I was like, it's probably better, honestly, for myself to take that time off.
You've got cycling-induced anxiety? I wonder where you get that.
Should I know? Well, this time it's like I was just more like eager to get back into it. I like for this year, the first time I think ever, I've just had like unlimited amounts of motivation.
Yeah.
So
good on you, man.
I was just stressed out to want to do it again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm excited to ride hard again. And to race this week. I think it'll be fun.
Good legs.
Yeah.
More importantly, how's Maria feeling for the 13.1?
She's feeling good, you know. There's been like, you know, hiccups. I wouldn't say setbacks, but hiccups in the training. She had a little IT band issue.
The people who guilted her in are completely bailing, like the boat is sinking.
That's part of it.
Naming any names.
Yeah. Yeah, she
like my wife, Michelle.
Oh, really?
No, she's not going to listen.
I know, but still, I can't believe she didn't hold true.
She did.
Yeah. Oh. So started out with my wife, my mother, and her friend all started out
drinking.
Well, that's kind of what it was a little bit.
Yeah,
but they all signed up for it.
Yeah,
and now she is the only my wife one. Is the only one doing it.
They all switched to the 10K.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're going to the event.
They are.
We're all doing the B&B and stuff like that. I'm announcing the race. So, and that's where it started. And I was like, oh my God, it's Mother's Day weekend. I got a check. My wife was like, I'll run it. That'll be great. It'll get me back into the sport. I'm super excited. That's not what my voice sounds like. But and then, and she was all psyched to do it, you know, and bought the new Hokas and stuff like that. And you know, actually, she didn't buy Hokas until too late.
Took a while.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
She's got hip issues and stuff like that. So, and I think she's finally coming to the realization that running is stupid. And it hurts. No offense, Maria.
No.
Godspeed.
Yeah. But I, you know, all in all, I think I'm really proud of her. She's stuck to it to the T, and I think it's gonna go really well, and I just can't wait for it. I'm really excited.
We have a 2 week night races this week. You want to do any pointing to the outfield, or are you gonna keep your cards close to the chest?
It's always close to the chest, you know. It's
I've raced one race.
Yeah.
And I'm giving you shit.
Yeah, I know.
No, just say if I feel good, ready to go back. I just, you know, this year I get excited to ride hard, and if that means finishing first, that means finishing first.
Yeah.
But not too stressed about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Palming.
Yeah, you can skip me.
Have you been able to ride? And if not, have you tried Trazodone?
Yeah, well, no, that's I don't dope up my dogs.
Really?
I'm not gonna do that. No.
We do.
We tried it once because of his anxiety.
It does a little bit.
Yeah. Well, your dog has ADD.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But we've
done all dogs?
No. Flanders, when we first got there, we tried that. We did it. We watched him. Of course, my wife, being in the medical field, okay, we're gonna do half of what's required. Let's see how he responds to
it.
Not good.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
Even half the dose, and we even tried a quarter, he's like starts getting anxiety. It's even worse, you know, because I think he's fighting it.
Yeah. Some dogs do that.
Not good at all.
Yeah.
Well, and I've seen Bender on that stuff.
Bender rides the gravy train.
He doesn't flinch.
You know what? We have to give him a little bit when we take him to the vet, or he is completely inoperable. I mean, and what I mean, you know, like not like operating on him, like he can't chill.
He's flaying like a fish out of water.
Yeah, he's like a fish on the dock. Just and so we do that. And when we travel with it, sometimes we have to. Mm-hmm. And I think for the 24-hour race, our dogs are coming with us. So the massive gate that's outside our door is going to be incorporated. And so is a little trazodone just to mellow the dogs out. Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't know. I could be, you know, in serious trouble with PETA right now. But you know what? The vet says, give him
it's not inhumane. We give it to humans.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
It's a common med.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I could just.
A lot of people use it for airplane rides and
really?
Stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember, I told you the way to remember the side effects is we call it trazodone because it can give you a priapism.
Yes, I do now.
Yes.
I do now. With RC3 coming up, Paul, how are things feeling? And well, you're going to self-deprecate, and that's fine.
I mean, when I came across it, because I was looking through, of course, I really like Turtle Bloom drink.
Yep. Hey. Oh, by the way, our beer is courtesy of our friends at Benedito's Pizza. Yeah, yeah. We have an in-beer sponsor with Benedito's Pizza.
Mm-hmm. If you're wondering who hit their yellow pole, I'm not going to name names, but it was me.
Oh, you did. You did.
It was me.
Everybody tags that. You're not the only one.
Okay, good. I thought I was.
Don't park on that parking lot.
It's shit, I know that now.
You can't see it.
No, I that's my thing. I'm such a careful driver and that... The little tiny, like, 2-inch poles that stick out of the ground, you just out of nowhere, you're going.
You're back up.
Hey, man, welcome to the club. What the
hell? Fuck up the car?
You're real local now.
It's like a soda can. You can just.
Your car's like a soda can.
They're concrete bollards. Yeah. They're concrete bollards, and they're like 3.5 feet. But it's up on a. When you back up, you don't see them. There's a light post. That's what they're protecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you come down, everybody does the same thing. Okay, I'm clear. Boom. Those things are concrete in the ground. They've been leaning for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, they're at a 45-degree angle.
Different. You go, that's a Subaru. That's a Mazda. Yeah. You're looking at the headlights. And it's all like, the lenses all over
It's one of those dents where it's like, I know for a fact, if I just got a little excited one day and just went, I could just get it right back out. It's like I said, it's like a soda can. You just squeeze it the right way.
Were
it's
there
gonna
people
come back
on
out.
The deck?
Oh, yeah.
They usually just take a look and go,
that's what they
one.
Did. I was like, oh, shit, they're going to like try and sue us. No, they didn't.
Everybody's
shit.
Like, yeah, and there goes another one.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I just thought I'd include
that. Oh, so RC3.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
The upcoming race, for those of you who don't know, it is a weekend time trial road race crate.
Yep. Omnium style.
Yeah, yep, yep.
So I was kind of bummed because, you know, where Sam was, I was like living through him and I was sending him texts and he's probably going, I'm not an idiot, you know, but it was fun for me.
Yeah.
He probably hated it, but I don't care. But then I'm sitting here like, okay, I haven't registered for RC3 and I'm thinking I've got to do that. And I went online and it says, we have now officially became district championships for seniors and And seriously, my pitch just went, dumped out water. I was dehydrated. I was something else.
I wish I had the soundtrack, sound effect.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. I have 2 years in a row. It's in our backyard.
Yeah.
For Masters, at least. And now it's you're stepping up to the game.
Is it?
Yeah, for seniors, too. Oh. Yeah. So that changes the game for me I was going to do the TT.
Oh.
But are you kidding me? That's not this TT is not the state championship.
No,
I'm going to use it as a warm up. Right. Just like not go hard, but
well, I should because just mine's for the only points. One lap.
Yeah.
But
are we one lap? What's the distance of one?
You
lap?
Have two because you're 50.
Son of a bitch.
But if you're old like me, you only get one lap. So
what's the distance of a lap?
It's 29 miles.
We have 3 laps. Mm-hmm. 86
Your
miles.
Your road race is 29 miles?
Yeah.
That's way better.
I liked 2 laps. It should be 2.
2's way better.
2's the perfect amount.
Yep.
With age comes the benefits.
But the thing is like, then you can use, with 2 laps, right?
Mm-hmm.
With 2 laps, you can use your, you know, more tactic. This is just like, I'm burning a match even doing a little bit of a TT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing.
Jackson, is it 3 laps for you now or if you upgrade it?
So, both 3s and 2s.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
I looked at it. They do have a 3s race, just if you categorize. Rise. If you categorize yourself as a three, you can race as the three, but they all go at the same time.
Yeah, they
take ones, twos, threes.
No, all distance, all same distance.
Everything.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Are you ready for three laps?
I don't really have a choice.
Yeah, good point.
Well, we got this weekend. Oh, you don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, we have next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the next week. And the weekend after.
Exactly.
Yeah. Weekend after is 24 hour.
Okay.
Well, that's sad for you.
I have Monday.
You do. Yeah, you could. I think you can go out for a ride while we're announcing. And just put a wireless on you.
Yeah.
David Waples.
Yes.
You raced this weekend.
Barely.
Technically. First of all, I applaud you guys for going out and doing races. I mean, you know, here we talk on the show about the difference between saying you're going to support cycling and going out and support cycling. And you guys did that. And that was awesome. And I will pick Sam's brain and give Sam an opportunity to talk about his weekend at Tour de Bloom, which has become arguably the largest weekend stage race in the region. And what they're doing,
his was 5 days. I mean, he did 5 days.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Four stages, three days.
Yeah. Which is absolutely awesome. Yeah. Now that was for ones, twos, the 4 days.
Pro one, two.
The other, everybody else is a 3 day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Four stage.
Big numbers. And that is so awesome. And you and at the same time within the same region, they're offering a mountain bike race.
They are, yeah. Within Wenatchee. So like I drove over Friday, stayed with Sam. It was 15 minutes from our hotel to the start of the mountain bike race.
God damn, that's cool.
Yeah, it was like 30 minutes to his TT that morning.
Yeah.
And I only had to go 15 to the race, but it was a huge bummer, to be honest, because I really enjoyed what they did last time with the race. This time, like, we had a day of reg because I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. And I'm there and I'm like, oh man, the weather's really crappy. Like, do I really want to do this? And then I'm just like, I got to harden the fuck up. Like, I'm just going to race.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I go up there to register. You know, Danielle and I, two entries, $180. This is a more expensive race.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be, you know, about, you know, hour 45 for me and probably would have been an hour 15 for Danielle. And it's starting to rain and like, I'm just like, oh, we're going to do it. And I sign up. And then, like, we're getting ready to start and you start hearing rumbles from like local riders. Like, we don't really ride up here in the rain. Like, you can't really ride here in the rain. I was like, I don't really know what you mean. Like,
really?
What are you talking about? And anyways, they start the race. We get, there's three laps. There's 7 miles each. And you just go up a hill for 3 miles and down. That's the race.
Oh,
and so
shit.
I thought I would actually do pretty well with that. It's a double track climb. I was like, just pass people on the climb, hold it on the descent.
Pass people on the climb, hold it on the descent. Yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah.
Well, partway up the climb, you realize this dirt is, this is why they don't ride up here. This is like turned to peanut butter.
Oh shit.
You get to the bottom and it's just like, you know, you're going back and forth between like clogging up your gears and not being able to pedal to, you know, it flies off in the grass or you get to a grassy section, it cleans the wheels off, that sort of thing. Come around on one lap and they're like, nah, we're done. And I'm just like, oh, man, I feel like you guys kind of knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you let like a bunch of people day of reg, $180 to ride 7 miles.
No
did
refund.
Did they result it?
Yeah, they ended it. They just like, this is the result. So everybody,
so they
like,
can't give you money back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm just like, man, that's pretty lame. And I know they can't control it. And if I had registered in advance, I probably wouldn't be bitter about it. But the fact that they let us day of reg for a race that locals knew was probably not a good idea. Uh-huh. It's like that didn't sit well.
And you probably kind of fucked up some of your
dude,
equipment
I have
too.
Never cleaned a bike the way I cleaned our bikes yesterday. Never in my life. This was the most insane peanut butter mud in every really? Single... You know, the you couldn't even see the sprockets at the end of the race. The cassette was just a triangle of mud, a pyramid of mud. Danielle's bike, we carried it 100 yards back to the car because we could not roll it. So it was not a good experience. And the next day I did like a 7 mile ride in between Sam's race because I was trying to make his feed and I missed it. And then Wednesday night, just speaking of training, again, last Wednesday I did the mountain bike race.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too.
Again, these are like three of the worst mountain bike rides I've had in a long time. So
yeah.
I dropped out after 4 miles. It turns out I had this horrible chest pain. I had no idea what was going on. It actually really scared me. And when I went home, I found out I was basically having an asthma attack. So,
well,
yep.
Have you ever had those before?
Never. And I thought it was asthma because it runs in the family. Everybody else has it. But then I got sick the next day.
You got sick.
Yeah, it was
That'd
the beginning.
Be a good,
it was the beginning of a cold.
Good segment oh. there about asthma. And
shit.
Yeah,
what a good idea.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I too raced that Wednesday, and I felt okay. I do have to say though that afterwards I was. Usually, you have when you do it like a hard TT or something like that, you get that post race cough. That.
Yeah.
It lasted for me. Longer than it normally would. And yeah. I associate that with the dust, pollen. I
high had a feeling allergy we were index.
Hit with high. What was it? Okay.
It was a high allergy index, yep.
Yeah, because it was really surprising.
That's what I thought it was until the rest of the head cold came on the next day. I thought it was that the pollen, the dust, all that exacerbated. Like, you know, I probably have some underlying asthma to an extent, and it gave me an attack.
Yeah.
And I've never experienced that. But
does Sam deal with that as well?
No, he's had inhalers in the past. Yeah, he doesn't feel hard enough. It's a problem. So, yeah, he has had some wheezing in the past, but nothing, you know, officially. And I haven't had the test to officially diagnose, but I can listen to my own lungs and tell what an asthma attack sounds like.
Yeah.
And then think in retrospect, oh yeah, this is what people tell me it feels like.
Are you going to get a nebulizer?
I got myself an albuterol inhaler.
Uh-huh.
But I just was using it while I'm sick, so I'm not going to.
Hey, I have low red blood cells. Can you get me EPO?
EPL? Oh yeah, absolutely. You doing a little tea too?
Oh yeah, the red pill.
I will say the savior for the entire week, I wish Sam was here, was watching that race. It was art.
Sam's race.
That was, yeah, the crit.
Crit?
Was phenomenal. A proper nighttime pro crit. Mm-hmm. The average was probably 30 miles an hour. It was carnage. It was fast. There was a huge beer garden. It was like, it reinvigorated what I love about short stage races.
What was it? Okay. I'm trying to find ways to describe what they're doing that is clicking, that is working. Obviously, there's community involvement. That they're getting, is this a downtown
crit? I mean, cool venue. They've got a beer garden. They've got sponsors. Ace, the promoter. We went to a couple.
Dude's name is Ace,
which is awesome.
Yeah.
We went to a couple of we went to a coffee shop while we were watching it. And then afterwards we got donor kebabs or whatever those are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And apparently he goes around and tells the businesses you might want to close. Because a lot of businesses get everybody's just there to watch the race. And so they get no business that day. The fact that he's going around and preemptively telling people you probably don't even want to be open this day, and they're supportive of that. Some of them just close down. Some of them stay open, like the food places. You know, that's awesome. And it's three city blocks of downtown Wenatchee, but either way, I think it's the numbers too. You know, there's pro teams out there, big pro teams, all the U.S. pro teams are showing up to this. So
I just wonder how you get from. Year one, we want to do a crit in a municipality, a hub of some sort. We're going to have to fuck up bus routes. We're going to have to fuck up shops and stuff like that. How do you get from year one, 30, fields of 30 riders?
Maybe.
Right.
To year seven or eight. Where you've got a beer garden, you've got a downtown party atmosphere. I mean, how do you convince people to make these things happen?
Do you think the promoters are reaching out to the team specifically and being like, hey, you should come to this race and this is why? Because I don't understand why all these teams traveled to Walla Walla for this race or to
Wenatchee
for this race.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, and Paul, you might be able to speculate even more than I can, but I would guess there are some invitations. There are some things like that. You try to probably put it on a calendar that allows them traveling distance where they're going. You might provide some start incentive, some registration incentive, things like that for some of these larger teams. I would imagine that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't verify that, but Ace has been traveling. He was down the Tour of Healy.
Mm-hmm.
He supports other bike races, as much as possible. I think that helps to get his name out there. Hey, you know, we're down here. He's talked to other promoters of, and Tour of Healy's been around for a long time.
Sea Otter, I'm sure he yes, went to Sea Otter.
Possibly.
Which I've likely, been to Sea Otter. Yeah. It's an unbelievable spectacle down at Sea Otter.
It started off as a mountain bike race, and it just now it's the only bike show.
Laguna Seca, so you're good. Yeah.
And it's the only bike show that's, you know, there's no Interbike anymore in the United States, so that's where everybody reveals their stuff. But, you know, I did it in, I think, 12, 13, 14. I think that's when I did it. And the crit was, they changed the location, the same kind of setup. It was just a block down.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved it in front of the bike shop, Allerberg's or something like that.
Wenatchee.
Yeah. They moved it up by their store. But even in those earlier days, they had a beer garden. They had one of the local breweries there. And and that was the atmosphere. The weather was terrible a couple of years when I was there.
And it was this year.
And it was during,
Sam's race?
What do they call it? Wenatchee's,
Apple Blossom?
Yeah, Acid Blossom. Yeah, it's Acid. Apple Blossom.
I like Asshole Blossom.
Asshole Blossom. The little pucker. It's kind of interesting. The little it is. I mean, you know,
there's some cats. They put a jewel in that fucker.
Yeah, that's right. Starry pucker. So, anyway, on that, so they tie it into their little community celebration because Wenatchee's known for apples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now grapes.
Yeah. And you know, and here I'm thinking about our community here is we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Expo 74.
Yeah, it's cool.
And we have a gigantic foot race that happens, the Lilac Bloomsday, which is, you know, one of the largest times at running events in the world. And it's like, oh my God, you know, how do you convince? I know there's a community involvement behind this, and I'm also thinking about the everyday Joe who's sitting there thinking, going, God, it'd be cool to have, you know, something outside of a business park parking lot. Crit.
I've thought of ideas a little bit here and there about where it could, you know, take place in a downtown, because our downtown is, it spans further than like a lot of people really think about. There's places by like our Brick West. Mm-hmm. Which is still out of the way. It's not as busy of an area. Why wouldn't that be a perfect spot for it?
Yeah.
Just getting in downtown, but not like, why does it have to be the core of downtown? Because that's going to be the thing that messes it up the most, is if people in the core of downtown, it sounds terrible, but homeless people walking through, they aren't going to know what's going on.
You got to snow fence shit out of it. Yeah. You got to fence shit out of it.
So finding the good spot, I think, is
you know what
key.
You know what is funny about that, and you know, it's perfect that you think that. The other thing that we have our what I call, you talked about our brewery district, not, you know, Palizzo, Flazzo, Hoffensfeld, Faber Incorporated, you know, kind of a thing like that. Boy, that reference.
We're gonna do it.
Yeah. It's not like Milwaukee breweries down there, but we do have a lot of breweries within that region, and I think it'd be brilliant. But you've got major bus routes, local bus routes that you know the city has to approve to either shut down or to reroute for that day. Now, your major downtown area many times is a business district, which means a Sunday-based crit. You're sometimes better off in your major downtown districts. Right. But our city doesn't really have a business district per se. What it has is it has buildings, but it also has malls and mom and pop shops and one-off shops. And so, you know, there's that line to cross there.
I think the biggest thing is you have to be able to, if you're going to shut down the streets, you have to have a full day of racing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You like they had with all the categories that the crit was from like noon until 10 at night.
Yeah. But you know what the funny thing is, Bloomsday starts at, you know, they block it off in the middle of the night. The race starts at 8 or 9 a.m. and it is done. Signed, sealed, delivered by 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And the streets are open?
Yep.
I just avoid the whole downtown.
Yeah,
downtown. Downtown. After the start, they just follow the race. It's like a sag wagon.
They shut it down as the race proceeds. Yeah.
Well, when it
you
comes,
can't do that with a crit, but a crit is not the entire. Is not 7+ miles of the city.
Mm-hmm. The thing is there's many, you know, you can get the city behind it. The city wants activity, and it does. If it becomes big enough, they want that revenue from hotel taxes and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Yeah. So they encourage that. There's different programs down there. There's a, it's called Visit Spokane. They are involved with promoting anything that happens to downtown Spokane or Spokane
yeah.
in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have our connections. It's a matter of follow through, I think. And it can happen, but it's got to start slow.
Yeah.
And then I think what ACE has done is a wonderful thing. One of the things that when you start getting like pro teams and even EJ trains.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went from, he's a YouTuber and, mm-hmm. But he was up there and I saw his Instagram says the most epic crit. I mean, he says epic was like one of his favorite.
What did he, yes. what category so, did he race?
Pro Ones. 1-2.
Yeah, it was epic because it dried out. They were under the lights, strung out the entire time. It was so fast.
And then 90 riders just.
Yeah. Yep.
Makes me want to have a beer. Oh, I have one. you know, and to put this into perspective for, you know, people listening and everybody who's listening to this. Yes, we're talking about our domestic scene, but this is a viable product. I'm not saying it's a money-making machine, but what I'm saying is if you're listening to this show, chances are you're passionate about some form of bike racing. And that just a little dab, putting your toe into being involved in something like this can benefit the sport in such a great way. Yep. And if it's volunteering and standing on a corner of a crit and blowing a whistle every time the field goes through so somebody doesn't stumble out into the course, to holding a sign in the middle of nowhere on a road race or being a race director, these are things that we need to do, and we need to quit relying upon people like Ace who are just gonna. I hope Ace is making good money at this because the guy's busted his ass and he's developed a product, a successful product. But that being said, I also hope that there are people who are out there willing to stick their neck on the line, put their time in mm-hmm. and make these types of races happen. It can be a business park crit. It can be a time trial. But these fucking USA Cycling quit making races a part of the calendar, a part of the responsibility of clubs.
Yeah.
And our sport is dying because not dying, it's hurting because of it. I think we're in a renaissance right now.
Yeah,
I really think I watched a YouTube video last week about it's like the American cycling team. I forget what it was, but they wear like red, white, and blue. They're not like USAC, but it was really cool to watch the crit scene around the entire country and how they have that crit series. But I think that is America's like bread and butter.
Absolutely.
Is going to be crit racing. Yeah. And I think it is exciting to watch, even if you don't really understand it. No. I mean, because it is the simplest form of the sport. You go round and round, whoever crosses first wins.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like,
short attention span. It's like every 45 yeah. seconds to a minute. Oh, yeah. There again.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And or there's a preem, and oh my God, somebody's going to win $300 on this lap. I mm-hmm. want to watch that. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like gambling too. And yeah. like who's going to win, who's going to win. Yeah. Like, yeah. 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 So I mean, I think it's great. I mean, my wife who knows bike racing, she's been around it for years at this point. But like a regular road race sucks, but she's always like, I love to come to your crits because it's something that can actually be like fun. I mean, on my birthday,
Amen.
Her brothers were even talking about, we should go to one. And Maria was like, yeah, you should. Cause you actually like, it's actually something exciting to like
yeah.
be mm-hmm. around.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's definitely a viable product.
And to add to that, before I shift gears in the show, I will say this, being that I'm a part of the Washington State Bicycling Association board, there are assets for people who are like, I'd like to put on a race, but I have no idea what to do. Mm-hmm. There are so many things available to you out there. Paul, you and I are talking about the concept of talking to our local community organizers, mm-hmm. people who can actually say, yeah, I can get you in touch with the people who can help you get the permits to close mm-hmm. the roads or to, you know, at least receive permission to use a road race course, mm-hmm. And you know, and ways to find police officers that can help you with your event or something like that. There are also elements like a WSBA has on the east side of the state and the west side of the state. And, and I guarantee you, depending on where you live, you can find out if this stuff exists for you. We have a trailer of supplies, signs, vests, corner signs, bullhorns, all that kind of stuff is available for groups to check out and use to put on your race. And all you got to do is just not put the shit out the night before so people come around and spray paint it or drive over with their you know, trucks with the balls hanging from the back. But, you know, but all this shit is available. Yeah. And all you got to do is just ask or find ways in which to ask. So I put this out there to listeners all the time. If you have connections of where you know you're part of this group, and I'm talking about Washington, but I'm also talking about other states or countries or whatever it might be. People want to put on bike races. They just don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be huge. So I sometimes, this is kind of taking me into, how are we doing time-wise? I want to talk about road racing versus hard rides. With friends. I know I'm in a room full of people who love to pin numbers on. Personally, I sometimes find that my race anxiety is something that I do experience. I guarantee you, tomorrow is the Wednesday night race. I will come home and start packing up my gear and will, in the back of my brain, the devil on my shoulder, be just like, oh, fuck it. You should just stay home. Just fuck it.
It's going to be just cold.
Order pizza. You're going to be fine. Yeah. You got beer downstairs. You know that?
When's the last time you cleaned out your toe jam? You know, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I got to do that. Yeah, exactly. And then there are times when I enjoy the simplicity, or not necessarily simplicity, but the animation of a group ride. And so we all seem to be really big in the spring, and then the events dry up, and we all end up beating the shit out of each other on group rides throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Why is it the effort to find races drop once late June hits? Is it because the events disappear, or is it because we all just kind of go, I rode a pretty hard spring. I'm going to go.
I'm just going to start here by saying I don't stop. I race cyclocross. If there's something available and I can do it, I will do it. I will take any chance I can get. I think that the races dry up after June, and so we're left with group rides. But I will still like travel the same distance for a race in the fall as I will in the spring. Like there are some fall gravel races and mountain bike races that we're already talking about doing.
Really?
Yeah, because it's still fun. Like it's still, and especially again, this is just to wrap up why we enjoy group rides. It's what I was joking about with Sam. It's the war story. You know, you go out with your friends, you kick each other's asses, and then you talk about, you have somebody that shared the suffering with you. Like Sam really, I think he'll tell you about it next week, but I don't know that this was the best like race for him from a mental standpoint because he was alone. He had nobody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched a lot of it, but like I couldn't see how hard he was working. Like, you know, he had encounters with dumb riders that like there's nobody else to share that with. Like you can't talk about it afterwards. I'm just like, oh, it was a race. You finished somewhere. You
know? Yeah.
Nice. Sorry, Mr. Feed. So I think that's why group rides are like mean so much to all of us is because then you get to like reflect on, oh, remember that time we did like Seven Hills and beat the shit out of each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's true. Even when we went to may it rest in peace, RIP, Montana.
Yeah, they're not going to do it this year. Yeah.
So, you know, it was just like none of us, we all did very poorly.
Yeah. Speak for yourself, asshole.
Hey, I did good on the final road.
Yeah, you did. You did. Yes, you did.
You
did. Yeah, you did a good job.
Pat, you shouldn't race bees, yeah, you're a pussy.
You made the right move.
Win.
Yeah.
But we suffered in the hotel together. Yeah, we suffered drinking together.
We didn't get bed bugs.
Yeah.
That's a miracle.
We learned something. White Tiger is not the hotel chain you want to stay at.
Not in that city.
Yes.
Now, the White Tiger. I
stayed there.
I think we just, if we see the name, I think in this moment, we all need to collectively make a pact.
No.
None of us put any sort of card in any sort of
there are so many hotels.
Financial commitment.
Yeah.
There are so many other hotels.
So many. And I think we really need to all agree right now. Being very serious, never I mean, think we all need to agree right now. Never again.
Guys want to know something very mildly scary? And I'm not going to name any names. I know who owns that chain of hotels.
Wow. You should go, like, hit them.
Childhood friend.
Stop it. You're friends with Trump?
You could leave a hot shit on their doorstep.
Yeah.
Because that's what they deserve already after what they've done. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are bad hotels. Sorry, we cut you off.
Yeah.
No. I mean, that's part of the story,
tigers,
though.
White tigers.
I mean, you know what?
I almost said that.
Yeah.
This is what why we do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going off on tangents. That's what group rides are. We're beating each other up. We have something to banter about. And the same reason why we're all here is because we have something in common and we bounce things off of each other. And when you go to a race by yourself and you're like, yeah, I mean, I'm one of those weird people. I want to hear every single minute of what was going through his head and everything.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are like, whatever. To me, I think it's cool. I like bike racing that much. But a lot of people are like, when I start talking to them about races, they just start glossing over.
Yeah.
Looking, hey, look, cows.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. So
I bet the best part of that race for Sam was him and I driving around. Like, there was one point where we're like, hey, do you remember, like, 5 years ago when we raced this? Do you remember this corner? Mm-hmm. Like,
that's on the crit?
No, one of them was in the road race. It was like, hey, you remember that corner? That's where we, like, took it so hard we both lost part of our shoe on the curb. Like, you know, we were like, oh, we should go see if it's still there. You know, like that. Yeah. The best part for him, I think, was reflecting on when we had experiences together, not just, like, going to do a race by himself.
Yeah.
I think that's what my point was going to be, was talking about the difference between events and rides or just going out there. And it's so funny you mentioned that, David, because my wife and I, we used to go out and get Christmas trees out of Mount Spokane. Mm. And every time we drove a specific stretch of road, she would say, I was in a running race that went that way. I ran that corner. I ran around that area. Yeah. And you know, not unrelated, but still the same thing. You remember, it comes into your mind, you've created memories in those moments. And is that the difference between the pinning of a number and the just going out and bashing the shit out of your friends? Is it that you're creating those memories? Or I'm trying to justify why the races are a part of the DNA of the people that are around this bar. Because I could go either way. Mm-hmm. If I was forced to just go out and ride with you guys, I could do it. Mm-hmm. And never race again. Never pin a number on again. I could get to that point. I've raced since 1983. But if you guys are there, and when you told me, Paul, you're going to be there Thursday, fucking sign me up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just trying to understand the difference. And for the people who are listening who are trying to go, well, I don't race, what's the difference?
Man, I think that there's also, at least what I get out of it, I mean, this is also my first ever team that I've ever had before.
Yeah.
And I think that this is honestly the best version of a team I could have ever asked for as a team, as just having entered the team aspect of it. I don't really consider it a team anymore because we've been doing this for so long, but rather like a brotherhood in a way, because we're all pretty close to one another. And I think that I mentioned this when I was talking about but I know with you,
fruit of my loins.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Yeah. But I think that I mentioned this with our first race, that it was like, we didn't even need to really like speak to one another. It's just that cohesion that's around anymore. And I think that when you're able to find a group like that, you are willing to go to the quote unquote war for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this Thursday, if I have to fall on my own sword so David can cross this the line
so
first.
Alpha right now, but then, anyway.
How is it alpha?
You're just like falling on swords and.
Well, I'm using a lot of, you know,
war
it's
battles.
Not toxic. you know, I'm masculinity. Not,
yeah. I just mean masculine.
I'm not saying really shitty things. But like, if I have to, you know,
I cut my balls off. For you, bud.
What was the accidental? Never mind. Anyway,
but I lost reference. Yeah, what I was saying was like, if I have to like fall on my sword for David to cross the finish line first, like that's something that I'm very, very willing to do. And I think when you find a group like that, it's very much like it's exciting to be able to go and do that with the other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that one thing that's great about the place that we live in is we do have, I would say we have a pretty welcoming group. In terms of just like the community we have.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's, I think, a really important part of it.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think that having people to race with is the most important part, because when you finish a race, you don't have anybody to talk to about it. It feels kind of a little bit lonely. I feel bad for Sam, and I feel bad that I couldn't have made it, but I think I'm still determined for us all to travel somewhere and to go for a race this summer, because I think that's something that I really enjoyed last year, and I really want to do it again this year.
Yeah, it was fun.
Can I ask just a couple more questions before we get to segments? Even when we do our group rides, there are fast moments. Mm-hmm. There are, I mean, you know, as Sam would constantly say, rip your legs off, bitch, and stuff like that.
He said that to the guy who got like third place this weekend.
Did he?
He told him he was going to rip his legs off at the Walla Walla Grit. Yeah, I was standing right there. And at first he's like, the guy's looking at him like,
and who are you?
Yeah, then he well, they're friends. And then he realized it was a joke. So
there are always those moments in rides with you guys where I am going, why? Just stop it. We can just go easy. And I just recently wrote an article for Out There that just got the issue is out, where I talked about my experiences with bikepacking and how I disliked the fuck out of it.
You were alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was. I was alone, and it was slow.
Mm-hmm.
I was suffering, but it was slow. And then, in the issue,
it's like waterboarding.
How is this different than your normal ride?
But
I'm sorry.
But in the issue, there are three additional articles countering me. Talking about the beauty of
bikepacking.
Oh,
they have to gain up on you.
Well,
which means
much.
You had a good statement.
Yeah, bring it,
is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like,
but there are three articles, one written by the great Justin Short, talking about the fact that slow is good and slow is fun and, you know, and this and that and the other thing. And I'm
we're
in
talking
the,
about bike riding, right?
Yes.
I don't think
but
slow
I'm in
is
the,
good.
But, yeah, that's the thing. We're in the mental mindset we hear in this bar right now are the types of people who, if you're going out for a zone one ride,
why go at all?
Why?
Yeah.
This is so, just as much workout right here.
Yeah.
How much should we drink a beer?
I could just stand up on the couch.
Yeah.
So none of you could get into the fact of slow and slow.
No. Mm-mm. No.
There have been times where in my life where I have just needed a really long day by myself on a bike.
Yeah.
I remember in college having like a particularly rough week. I literally hopped on my bike and rode 120 miles down the coast and then grabbed a train home. And I by myself, like and I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like, I just need to go alone. I need to be alone.
Yeah.
There's been multiple times where I've needed that. But that's few and far in between. And that was not something I did because I was like looking for a happy experience. It was something I did because I was in a bad place and I needed to like be alone and figure out, you know, process or whatever. But I think by and large, the meaningful experiences are shared. And so bike packing, I've had fun when I do it with somebody. I probably wouldn't alone. It's always better shared. I think you can go slow.
Yeah.
Like when I went with my wife, I carried all the gear. So we went slow, but I was still putting out a lot of power.
Does she listen to this?
Hopefully. Well, she knows. We've done this multiple times.
I spent a good portion of my younger years training alone. And I love riding alone. I get into a zone, but my brain shifts out. I still go hard up hills. Well, as hard as I can. And things like that. But I don't know why. That experience with being restrained, the bike being slow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it was miserable.
Yeah.
So Okay. We don't have... Okay. To quote, to end out this segment of the show, the perfect Saturday, Sunday ride and or race weekend would consist of blank. Fill in the blanks.
Just Saturday and Sunday?
Just Saturday, Sunday. Anybody?
I'm really just tempted to say 2 days of just back-to-back crit racing.
Of crit racing?
Yeah. That would be, like, I don't know why. I mean, I just enjoy it. It's kind of my...
Yeah. Okay. No. I don't have anything against
it. I like a good road race. I don't mind the time trial road race crit format on the weekend. But I'm anti
TT crit road race in those days.
I'm anti TT because of all the gear and stuff. It's not
that has changed.
Yeah, it's changed. Really changed. So I wouldn't mind a road race and a crit. I like finishing. I love Sundays being a crit because you have enough energy at the end of it to have a beer afterwards and chat and bullshit and that type of thing. A road race, you're pretty whacked.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is get shit-faced unless you won. You know, so.
Yeah.
You're all winners.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a medal and a beer.
I was going to say I really enjoyed Montana because the crit was first and we were able to, like, hang out as a group before the road race.
Yeah. This is true.
Because after a road race, you're kind of done.
Yeah.
You know? You're not really going to have the energy to go out with a group for dinner and drinks. And, like, so I really enjoy, you know, crit and a road race. I definitely want a road race. So, like, I'll never stop loving the actual endurance that's required for road racing.
Yeah.
So.
Jay? Oh, you already said.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like crit racing lately. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do like a road race. I am the very much bread and butter. I will hide for, that's going to be it for 86 miles this year. I mean, I'm going to have to hide for 85 of them. So
do these have to be races, by the way?
No, I was just saying ride and or race.
Because to be honest, I think I would, like, if I was just going to pick out of the blue, like, most of the time I would rather have group rides starting at a cafe. Ending with beer and then doing two back-to-back just killer rides.
I love those.
Where you drain yourself, but you start at a cafe
with
a pastry and a coffee. Like, the to me, that is usually more rewarding than most races.
And let's be honest, that is many times what our life consists of. Yeah. You know, it's that, although I find it funny that as collective group, we meet at a coffee shop, but very few of us go in and actually purchase coffee from the coffee shop.
I would. It depends. Cause we've on already, the place. It depends on the place that's serving.
And the time of day. And the time of day.
Well, so, usually I would still have a coffee if it
really?
Was like a place that I would prefer to spend.
Yeah.
Nowadays it's expensive.
$4 or $5. $6. Yeah.
But I'm not going to spend $6 for something I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's free at Laundry Room Cafe. Yeah.
But getting back to that, to me, it's like, I love what your format is, like the, you know, the group rides, you know, cafe, that type of thing. That is good. Very, very good. And that's up there. But it's when we come as a collective and now we have other people to compete against and we work as a unit. Is to me another level up, and the experience is a little more sharpened. Even if you stay at the White Tiger, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just one more level. You're out of town, out of our element, and that's more enjoyable to me.
Got to deal with the traumatic memories that there was a chalk outline in your living room,
bed bugs. No, I like that. That was my biggest concern.
Yeah. Got lucky.
God. It was cleanish.
Yeah.
Notice I ended with ish. I should touch base on some news headlines. Do I have the news intros? Yeah, well, I'll keep it quick. Tonight's news headlines, thanks to our friends at Scratch Labs. Great fuel, recipes, gels, and hydrations. Use it at scratchlabs.com today. Bum, 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 bum. Panda Watch. Giro is underway. And a multiple of surprises, many topics, points of drama, and even disappointments have already arisen. David, have you been watching this show?
I have been, I have not caught today, but I have been watching.
I'm glad to hear that. The likeliest shocker comes in the form of the current pink jersey in the wear of Tade Pogacar. That is a joke. That is not a shocker. Is anybody surprised at all?
I couldn't figure out the first day, day three when he was in it, right? Because he got it day two.
He got it day two.
Day three, what the is going on with his shorts?
Oh, you want that?
Is that a thing we're going to talk about?
Well, he's going to hit that.
Well, I could go to it now.
That was the only surprise.
I would like to respond to
yeah,
your
okay,
thing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a surprise. I think that's his intentions, and I think everybody's like, oh, this is going to be a boring Giro, but so far I find it pretty entertaining.
I do too.
I think it's been pretty good.
And, you know, to me, there's... Tade, when we talk about there's so many people, what would have been like to watch Merckx? Yeah, he's most likely going to win. But the thing is he does it with style. He wants to win as many stages. Mm-hmm. He's not doing the Froome thing to calculate this is where we're going to take the yellow jersey here or the pink jersey, and then we just sit and guard it. Mm-hmm. That's boring.
Yeah.
This guy had no teammates and said, you know, well, thanks, Micah, and off it goes, and it was all him. This is an unbelievable part of history to me. It's like we're watching it. So.
I agree. I think it's very exciting so far. I mean, I think everybody sitting here knows Tade's going to win the Giro. I think, hands down, this is what's going to happen.
Rubber side down.
Yeah. But it is very exciting. I thought he was going to win stage three. I was like, oh, is he like our... him and Thomas gonna have to sprint for
oh my god, what like, a cool move.
Yeah, and that's like that makes bike racing genuinely exciting to see the leader of the entire race take it on like that.
Gunning for it.
Yeah.
We've never seen Lance or Froome or anybody you can think in the past ever do what he just did.
I think it makes he's what bike racing really needed. And so I'm excited to see the next few weeks. I'm really happy with how Thomas is riding so far. I think he's on some pretty good form, it seems like. Yeah. So I think that it'll be good. I don't think he'll really challenge him that much when Tade puts out an attack, but it's like it's interesting to see the two separate generations ride against each other. Thomas picks a pace and he can just look at you and just bear you down slowly but surely. And Tade's just that explosive attack and hold. Yeah, he can just keep doing it. So it's fun to watch the two separate styles go against each other.
And I don't know if you guys have caught the online banter between the two. It's just like, okay, kid, can we just have a normal fucking bike race now? He's like, no, let's attack from the gun tomorrow.
Yeah,
I love it. It's a wonderful exchange. And I've seen some people commenting on they miss the fact that these guys aren't cutthroat with each other. It's like, absolutely they are on the bike. Yeah. But then when they get off the bike, there's no reason to be a...
Down your sword.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think it's great, and I think it's a lot of fun. I was sad to see Biniam Girmay. Biniam Girmay. Crashed twice in like 10 minutes today, and you could tell the second time he went down is like that's it. The first time he went down, it looked like shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was in pain. It just seems to be the guy's lot in life that he has a great stage. And then,
shit,
a cork hits him in the eye.
I hope he hits the Tour or the Vuelta at least.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him there.
Yeah. So speaking of Tade Pogacar, and the kit heard around the world, he was almost booted for riding in a kit that didn't match on his first day in pink. According to Cycling News, he swapped his purple maroon colored shorts for team issue black shorts for stage four because the Giro d'Italia commissaires threatened to disqualify him from the race after conflicting interpretations of their own rules. Hi, UCI. Confirming the leader's jersey. He won stage two and pulled on the pink jersey, obviously. On Monday, he raced in pink upper and purple shorts. Wow. A part of a skin suit provided by RCS Sport and their clothing sponsor, Castelli. RCS opted to combine the purple or Granata shorts with the pink jersey in homage to the Torino football team, who played in a maroon-colored jersey.
And there was also a tragedy.
Saturday marked the 75th anniversary of the Superga air disaster when the plane carrying the legendary Torino team crashed in near the city, killing all 31 people involved. So.
Slick move, UCI.
Yeah. They're going to punish the guy who they handed him the kit and said, put this on, and they're going to disqualify him. Could you imagine the uproar that would have happened if they would have said, "That's it, you're out." Your socks are too long and your purple shorts are too purple.
I wonder how many riders would have been like, "All right, then I'm done."
Yeah. They're just puffing their chest. There's no fudging way.
Yeah.
They're going by the letter of their own rules, but they didn't research what was all about. That's supposed to represent, and it sounded like, and I might be wrong, but Castelli kind of screwed up that whole, because it was a speed kit or skin suit.
Speed suit.
And there were supposed to be trims that matched that to honor it. So they missed when they produced this thing. It was all pink instead of having like the cuffs,
the trim,
and the collar, and then the shorts, and it would all tie in. And that was too. But it's right-handed, know what the left hand was doing.
Oh,
and,
God.
Yeah, interesting. Boom. Yeah.
So.
Wait, so he had two jerseys on?
No, he had a skin suit, but they and the skin over suit. It? No. It was a pink, and it's supposed to have this like to honor the soccer team that died. This
Granada.
You
got a problem with my Granada.
But the way I hear it is that there were supposed to be trim pieces on there that would tie the shorts in.
Yeah.
And that was only a one-time deal. And I think that's where, you know, of course, we grab as, you know, us is like, "You sky, you fuckers,
fascists." Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, what kit did Sam wear this weekend?
He wore the black kit that you put the pack filler logo
team kit
on. Yeah,
was that the team kit?
Well,
the black kit he wore the Arrive team kit? I can't recall.
Had the pack filler logo.
Here comes the bus. I'm throwing him under.
Yeah, what a loser. He lost the race too.
Yeah, he had the wrong kit on.
Yeah.
How am I doing time-wise? I'm running out of time. Another is Jonas Vingegaard has returned to racing outside to riding outside. I almost flew over that.
Mm-hmm.
He's returned to riding outside for his first time since the crash in the Basque Country. He was in the hospital until April 16th.
Wow.
I don't even think I should ask. Don't race the tour, dude. Just chill. Just get better. Just be good. Maybe the Vuelta. Should he even line up? This is just take a knee, man. It's okay.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, big up to the guy for even getting back on the bike right now.
Yeah,
but. I think that what, first of all, Jumbo-Visma should do is be like, if he starts it, we're going to be real about our expectations here. We're not going to go try and win the tour with Jonas because he could either be seriously hurt or he could get seriously hurt. But also, it's like his form is not going to be on par with what somebody who just rode and won 3 weeks is going to be.
Yeah. What a terrifying business model.
Yeah. I think as an athlete, especially being young, there was times, even when I was older and when I tore my hamstring and I was told, "You shouldn't race this weekend." I'm like, sorry. I mean, you know, that's in your blood. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'll chill after, but this race I've been looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good idea. You could do further damage. It's only soft tissue. It'll eventually heal.
You know? Can take my hand.
It's not hard tissue.
Yeah. I mean, a bone, you know, if it, you know, but.
Take my handlebars from my cold, dead hands.
But I understand his push, but it is at his push. If the doctors, if you got a green light from everybody, and, you know, what does Jumbo-Visma have for a GC? And then I started thinking.
Laporte's like going, quit talking about me.
Well, Uta Brooks, but I doubt he's going to do anything because he's working. He's in fourth place. But, you know, to me, it's like, well, how much money will the team get if he shows up for, you know, appearance? So there's that. There's a financial side, possibly. He probably, I don't know if they do, but, you know, certainly he would draw a crowd. I mean, he's worth something.
The thing is, you know, when it comes down to it, he's, what, 27?
Mm-hmm.
He's young. He's super young.
Yeah.
And if he's feeling like he wants to race with the injuries, at least the ones that I remember, you know, if something bad happens, it's not like he's not going to know. If his lung, if he has another pneumothorax, it's not going to be subtle. You know, the chances of him dying from it are probably pretty low. So if he really wants to get back out there, I don't know why he couldn't. But that being said, if he didn't and anybody gave him flack for it, then what the hell? Mm-hmm. Like, he has every right to take a knee on this. But if he's so young, he's probably, you know, if he can heal, think about if he could heal and win this. Just saying. Think about it.
Oh, my God.
That would be unreal.
Yeah.
That would be a story.
So I don't know that it's necessarily a bad idea. I think he could do it if he wanted.
I think he could ride it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think he's going to win it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think he can ride it. Yeah.
Yeah, Tade will blow the doors.
Yeah.
And I would be amiss if I didn't get, before the segments, if I didn't say, bravo, Demi fucking Bollering. Holy crap, the women's welter was I watched every day. It was great freaking racing.
And did you understand when she had teammates up that she chased them down? That's the only thing. There's a couple of times I'm like, what's going on? Did you guys see that?
Mm-mm. I don't think
there's a couple of times where there was a breakup and she had teammates, but it maybe wasn't what
she's wanted, probably so. Pissed off because they're freaking letting her go next year.
Dude, well, maybe they just can't.
Yeah.
Can't afford it.
Yeah.
You know, you got UAE that's got deep pockets.
Yeah.
I don't know. Other teams.
Could you imagine if she goes to like a Canyon SRAM or a Trek?
Yeah.
Because she's going to go to a big.
Oh, yeah. I think
UAE is looking to boost that. I would think somebody would have deep
pockets. EF had
pockets,
a great women's welter, too. I mean, bravo to Allison Jackson.
It takes more than just one rider, though.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just need to relay, since Sam's not here, that we were watching the women's pro crit, which was also fudging awesome. And he just turns to me.
Say fudging. You're so adorable.
And he just turns to me and he goes, do you think I could beat them?
And you said to him,
absolutely not.
Yeah. Right.
They are going faster than the 2-3 group.
Yeah.
They were incredible. Yeah. It was awesome.
They had a pretty good size.
So for every douchebag man out there who thinks, oh, I could race them. Yeah. No, dude, you can't.
No.
You can't.
Shut the fuck up.
Let's get to the generic bumper, which is times for our segment section of the night. I don't have a sponsor, so I'm going to give it to Beneditos tonight.
Hey.
Thank you for the wonderful. We have the Kolsch on tap, and we have the Citra IPA on tap.
Just consider removing that thing from your parking lot, please.
Yeah.
Well, Jackson, I will. Jackson did his part to help remove it from the parking lot.
Yeah, it's a 45-degree angle. You just need about 45 more.
It was 30 degrees before you hit it.
Sure was.
Got that Subaru up to speed. I
watched it go from 12 o'clock to,
you know. 12 to 12:15.
I even got in that parking lot, and the guy, and I kept trying to correct my spot, and the guy was like, just don't. Nobody parks here. I was like, oh, I wonder why.
Yeah.
And some lady walked right behind us, just looked at it, and I looked at her dead in the eye in the rearview mirror, and I just wanted to get out and say, get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah.
Well, you'll become a part of it.
Yeah. You want to talk to the manager? I'm the manager. Ping down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's start with, let's just let it happen. Dr. David here. Hello. Asked Dr. David. You know what? We started off the show talking about exercise-induced asthma. And you mentioned that it has a genetic history, but I've met some people who are just like out of the nowhere going, I don't know what's happening to me. What is this? So what is it? How common? Can it develop out of nowhere? Is it seasonal? What's the concept of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I thought that's what was going on with myself because I didn't feel ill and I had no reason to be having an asthma attack. So I thought it was exercise induced. But when you're talking about exercise induced asthma, this is specifically relating to the effort that you put in. It has to do with the sudden increase in air exchange in the lungs. You have an increased need to cool or to heat the cold air coming in. So specifically when you're in colder climates, it can be worse.
Yeah.
And in order to do this, the body compensates in multiple ways, tries to get more blood into the lungs to warm that air as it goes into the lungs. And then before you exhale it, all of this ends up contributing to bronchoconstriction, where the airways close down on themselves, which is essentially asthma. But in asthma, it's happening all the time throughout the day, or just randomly to triggers or whatever.
Yeah.
And the big thing with exercise induced is that it's specific to activity, and you don't have any other symptoms of asthma. It's actually pretty rare when you look at the spectrum of asthma. So it's like 90% of people that have exercise induced also have underlying asthma. It's only like 10% of people that have truly isolated exercise induced asthma.
Okay.
And you know, if you're talking about Joe Schmo, which is essentially all of us, to be honest,
hey,
you know, we're not racing at a mega elite level. We're doing mostly local races, that
I'm
sort of
fat
thing.
Pat.
Yeah, we've got Fat Pat over here. You know,
the old man.
We've got Power Paul, that sort of thing. You know, in general, like, you can kind of go off of a clinical history. You could probably just be like, oh, you're wheezing after your exercise or during it. You can advise them probably NSAIDs are not good. I don't know if you guys have heard that, but, you know, ibuprofen, Advil, that sort of a thing, it can actually make it worse. It has to do with the counter-regulatory hormones that NSAIDs are affecting. Just don't take
wow.
One more reason that we already talked about not taking NSAIDs.
Yeah.
It's just not a good idea before exercise. But, you know, for you and I, for most people, if you think you're having symptoms of exercise-induced asthma, you're wheezing, you're like more short of breath than you should be, you're coughing during your efforts, you know, cough is a big symptom of this, you can talk to your doctor. You can try something like a albuterol inhaler 15 minutes before, 20 minutes before your activity. And if those symptoms resolve, that's good enough. You know, we're not pros. You don't have to go through all the testing to diagnose it. But the interesting thing that I found throughout all this, because I was texting Pat about it and he called me a doper because I got myself an albuterol inhaler because I was wheezing.
I teased.
Well, I went and looked at WADA, World Anti-Doping Association, and they actually put out these like awesome guidelines on how you can address medical things in this setting of being a professional athlete. And they have one for asthma. Wow. And it's not that you can't treat asthma. But people with asthma have to be treated a certain way, and they also have to. You have to prove it. So you have to put them through tests that provoke the, you know, bronchoconstriction and prove that they have it. And if they have underlying asthma, you have to treat that before you treat the exercise component. But if they do truly have the only exercise-induced component, they have guidelines about what you can and can't do.
Oh.
So you definitely need somebody who's up to date on these things. If we do have somebody who's an elite athlete listening to us that's actually racing, you know, in the truly professional category where you can get drug tested and all that, because you it turns out you can't just hit an albuterol inhaler before a race unless, like, you could. I think you can get disqualified for that.
Chris Froome got busted on that.
Yeah. So There are guidelines and recommendations on that, but overall, there's tons of Olympians, gold medal winners, people in the Tour de France. Asthma's not a big deal. You just have to get it treated.
And you can hit a Cherry's Jubilee vape pen if you are a downhiller.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah, just puff that stuff out before you hit the course.
And it is not.
Cinch up those baggy shorts and rock.
Yep.
Okay. I had to make fun of downhillers. Jackson's bored with me.
Oh, no, I had something in my eye. Not at all.
I could have sworn I looked over near you using your middle finger. Who gets there? Oh, Jackson has to be next. Oh, nice. So we're going with style points with the one and only Jackson Bulger, who I'm wondering if he's going to talk about eyewear. Are you talking about eyewear tonight?
Is this new?
His hit?
Yeah, that music?
Yeah, I'm not fucking around.
When was that? When did that come out?
You should listen to the show.
I didn't hear it last time.
Probably in the bathroom.
I'm not going to talk about eyewear, even though I got a new pair of glasses. Oakleys, man. Yeah, I got the new Oakley Kados. Hey. Yeah. Best pair of cycling glasses I've ever put on my face. They are really nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You only feel the nose piece, even though you'd think that you'd feel everything else.
Feeling
anyways.
The nose lens.
Yeah. It's sweet.
Okay.
You even said they're badass, so don't you dare.
I did. Yep. I was drunk.
You were not. I know that you liked them. That's the thing. I was going to talk about
that's the key. I'm always drunk.
Yeah. We're here for you if you need help.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate it.
I was going to talk about the jerseys of the Grand Tours.
Oh.
Because when the hell did the one-colored skin suit start happening?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about for the leader and stuff?
Yeah, because
that's
feel
a code
like
thing.
Where
our code? It is a UCI rule. So the rule is either you have to wear the team issue blacks or team issue shorts, whether they're black or not.
That's where Todd A.
got. And the pink, or if it's a one piece, has to be all one color.
Because I feel like for a while there, it was like black shorts, jersey on top for like. Every time. Mm-hmm. You didn't really see a lot of these new... You didn't see a lot of, like, the skin suits all one color. For quite a while, I feel like we just saw, like, jerseys, shorts.
You're going to... I'm going to age myself. I'm going to age myself, and I'm going, why can't we go back to just black shorts? I mean, even Matthew Vanderpoel with the World Championships jersey, or Demi... Demi Vollering.
With the red.
With the red. Or who's our current... female world champion. Why am I
drawing Lotta Kopecky?
Lotta Kopecky with the I hate the white shorts and the world championships kit. Yeah. And that's going to make me an old man. I love just classic black shorts. And then you see a climbing jersey in the Tour de France where they're wearing the kit in the red shorts.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love that we're already talking about this because my first question was, what did we even think of this new or this the look of a skin suit? Where it's all the same because there are polka dot skin suits now.
There are,
yeah. What do we like? What? How do we feel about them?
I don't like them.
That's what I thought, David. What do you think about them?
It's specifically in like leaders' jerseys.
Yeah, like Grand Tours.
I don't know. You're gonna be that good. You gotta be marked. You know.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hate it.
I hate it. Yeah, it's the traditionalist in me.
Yeah. I wish that they could just make it like a skin suit with black shorts. Because realistically, that's not really that difficult.
No. You're saying like in the TTs when it's all yellow.
Yeah.
You don't like that?
No. Well, it's not even in the TTs. It's also in like road races.
I didn't like Todd A. and his...
It has to be one color.
I didn't like Todd A. and his... unintentional purple jersey
or the team.
What about this? You've got freaking, you know, Tade in the yellow. How's he going to look any different than his teammates if he has black shorts?
They have a yellow jersey.
A yellow helmet.
They're all yellow too.
No, they're not.
They don't have to be.
You're Jumbo Visma. Now, Jumbo Visma.
I'm sorry. I meant to say Jonas. Jonas Vingegaard. Sorry. You have Jonas in the yellow, and then his whole team's in yellow, and they all have black shorts. They barely look any different.
Well, what they do now is they actually change their jerseys.
Jumbo Visma
doesn't have yellow.
That's why EF Easy Post doesn't have a pink kit on during the Giro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the way, that's an ugly jersey.
I disagree.
I like it too. I like it too.
I do miss the one of, this is my wife and my favorite. It's two iterations ago. It was that black kit.
Yeah.
Oh, with the duck?
Yeah. No, not the duck.
The one that had different country like colors, in there.
I missed that. That was sweet.
So, yes, David, in Grand Tours where your natural kit is the color of the leader's jersey, you have to change it.
Mm-hmm. So is there only yellow jersey in the entire field? I feel like there's other yellow.
There isn't.
There have been some yellow kits that are different
shades.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, because Movistar, I think it was Movistar a few years ago in the Giro, made their jerseys the Chiclamino jersey. They made it like nigh on identical. It was very close. So it was like, who is that? Yeah, it was when Sagan won it, I think. But it was like, this is really weird.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to talk about the new shades that we are seeing as well. This is not the normal green we have seen in years past.
Oh,
it is a darker green.
You're just making me out to be an old crotchety
asshole. I was going to say, how do we feel about it? Because I miss the old green. I think when I saw last year in the tour for the first year ever that it was a Skoda. Has it always been Skoda?
Skoda's been the sponsor for a while. It was PMU for a while. But Skoda's the reason why the kit changed to that dark
green. And it's worse. Yeah. I think it's worse. I don't like it. It's my favorite. That's my favorite color.
For the tour?
In the tour, yeah, because I'm also noticing that
it's more of a lime green in the for the sprinters.
Yeah. I like that big pop of just like green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now it's just like the muted, and it's, like I said, it's my favorite color, but it's like, not for that jersey.
It's approaching the color you made tonight's graphic in. A little bit darker.
A little bluer.
Approaching all of. Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
You know how I don't like love it. Club cut jerseys.
Yeah.
It's like a club cut color.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're there about to ride that color.
Club cut color. I like that. Mm.
Well, no, not that color. We're not going to ride that color.
It's more pea different. Green.
Yeah.
Kind of like, because I don't have it on.
Yeah.
But how do we feel about the new version of the green?
I don't like it. I like the old one.
That's what I thought.
It's hard to, it's so hard to accept newness.
I know. And it's just like a shade of color. That's what I think is so funny about this. We all get hung up on shades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So it's always been. And somebody new to the sports like going, all right, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have like a beef with the leader's jersey on top and then the black on the bottom. I think that looks great no matter what team you're on.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of the one piece yellow jersey. I'm worried about what the pink's going to look like.
Yeah. We'll find out probably tomorrow.
We will, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
Well, we got one segment left,
and that is the one and only changing times of the week.
These are so great. These are so great. I swear I haven't heard Jackson's before.
Back in the day.
Well, it might have been a while since you've been around.
You have, you've always been out racing on the dirt. Yep. Changing times with Paul Maine. Paul, it's kind of funny. We just talked about it. In essence, a changing times bit. You know, mm-hmm. we're talking about how kids have changed and things like that. What are you bringing with us today?
Well, as you guys know, I just bombard you guys with a bunch of tubeless like failures and stuff.
Yeah,
and so it's a
brilliant one in the Giro this year.
Yeah,
a few.
And it's just one of those things where. You know, I look at it, and Todd A's incident was he was frustrated, and they wanted to make the wheel change after the corner. Now, that would never, at his speed, never been a problem, I'm going to say, with tubulars. It really would. This is a different beast. And you can see, if you watch the film, goes around the corner, and it burps
stage
out.
Stage two, where stage he took two. Over the paint.
Yeah, and he ends up winning.
Channeling crazy. Marco Fontani.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. Was his tire pressure low going?
It was low.
Flat. Okay. It was flat.
No, it wasn't. It was not flat. Totally flat.
Really?
No, okay. It was low, and that's what he said, and that's why he wanted to change. But it was probably too low. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And I just heard from another podcast, the cycling podcast, that Toddy said his replacement bike had a low tire also.
Well,
and it's like this is ridiculous, and it's that manufacturer, you know, pushed because back in our day, the thing is it was like a Sharpie mark out. So guys had their preference. I have a preference on what tires I want to run, what kind of wheels. We all have our own. And if it wasn't sponsor proper, it was just blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
Saddles, everything you could see was all blacked out. And now, I was thinking back when Todd A went down, he got back up, I could see he was frustrated and stuff. 2 years ago, they had a different tire sponsor. And he was going around the corner, it was wet, and he's with a teammate, and he started swearing about the tire manufacturer.
Oh.
You don't have a choice.
Wow.
But it wasn't like he thought anybody could hear. It was just the mic on the motorcycle falling him down.
Phil Guymon talks about that in his book, Draft Animals, about being stuck with the tire sponsor that you don't care for.
Yeah, and it's a shame because I think we would be looking at bikes completely different. But then we're kind of, it's this paradox. It's like, okay, then the teams wouldn't have the money.
Yeah.
Because things are so stinking expensive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's an unfortunate thing, but I, you know, I'm not saying tubulars are the answer, but there's some other products out there, or in certain races, you want to use these things, but they're not sponsor correct. And, and a fine example was before Quickstep, I don't know if there was Sadal or probably De Kooning at that point.
Yeah.
Did Paris-Roubaix Specialized forced them on clinchers. They went through everybody flatted, everybody pinched, everybody It was a disaster, but they had no choice. And a lot of these guys have a window of succeeding in that. And I'm thinking of Lampard, who loves that race, and he's it put him on a race because of his sponsor. And it's an unfortunate thing. And that's the glory part of amateur, as far as I'm concerned. I get to choose what I want to ride and what I get to have.
We get the benefit.
Anyway,
Sam and I were talking about this weekend because you texted us to spark it, but I don't understand why Tubular is, like, they have the resources. We've raced, Sam and I have raced all different types of wheels and tires. Tubular, by far, especially if you have a mechanic and the money, it outperforms it. Yeah, hands down. It is always the best, but it's not practical for your everyday rider.
No.
But for them, it should be.
Yeah.
And it far outperforms everything. So I don't really understand it either.
Well, and it's a money thing. So therefore, Tubulars, I had a set of Tubulars and it was all, I used them only for racing. That's the only thing practical.
Same.
Well, there's no money in that in the industry. If these guys are just hoarding their, just doing their Tubulars, and they want the everyday guy that's going
to
go spend.
To where? To use them. Yeah.
You know, lightweight $6,000 wheel set with, you know, tubeless. So anyway, there you go. That's my change
of
times.
That takes us to the end of the show. We are over time, but so my final K is going to go to next week, but for a fun one. The final K, the final question for tonight. How do you take your coffee? Jackson.
It depends. I usually like a mocha, or I just kind of take it with creamer from the Keurig.
Okay. Paul.
Black straight up coffee, espresso after noon, or a cappuccino in the morning.
David, oh God.
Black, nobody else can make it. And then espresso. Espresso is either going to be with, 2 ounces or four. So cortado or cappuccino.
Yeah. I'm black or espresso. There's very rarely that I put anything white into my coffee anymore. Yep. Unless it's from someplace I don't trust.
Yeah.
And you guys are wrong. Second crack is where a coffee roast has to be.
Your poor taste buds. Yeah. Must be dead.
Go drink an IPA, will you?
I will. Hey, be sure and like and subscribe. And I would like to challenge our listeners out there to drum up as many friends and family as you can get to listen to this show. The amount of people who actually get a listener to provide a review for us on iTunes with the name of the person that recommended them, the most amount, I will send you something special. I'm going to do that. I think that'd be a fun way to get some marketing shit out there. And I ran out of time. We'll catch you next week. Keep the rubber side down. Sam, way to go, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.